Well, good morning, everyone. Let's see if we can get to grips with that passage from Luke's Gospel as we continue our series in Luke about the person of Jesus. So I've got an offer for you this morning. I'm afraid it's not 2 weeks in Tenerife, although that would be quite nice, wouldn't it? But the offer is washing up or Bible study. Gardening or Bible study? Cleaning the car or Bible study? Which would you prefer? Come on, be honest. Just make the choice quietly to yourself. I'll give you a moment or two to think about it. I'm guessing that maybe a few of us, maybe many of us, may have opted for doing the washing up instead. And for some reason, getting down to Bible study, getting to grips with God's word can be a challenge, a problem, more so when we are busy with life's demands too. And I'm not sure entirely why. Is it that we're afraid it will be too confusing, or that we might be challenged? Well, in our gospel reading this morning, there seems to be the same choice, doesn't there, for Mary and Martha. So what's going on here? We understand this to be the Mary and Martha that live in Bethany near to Jerusalem. And so they know, I think we can safely assume, of the miraculous power that Jesus has. And they know the power of his teaching. You see, his fame was spreading far and wide, as we note earlier in Luke's Gospel from Luke 5. But the news about him was spreading farther, and large crowds kept gathering to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. Mary and Martha undoubtedly knew who this person was, who just pops in to their house. And we have, don't we, two very different responses from the two sisters. Martha, probably the elder sister, sets about getting hospitality ready. A meal, no doubt. Some commentators even say that it would have been an elaborate meal, that she was going overboard because of who was visiting the house. You see, back then, hospitality was almost sacred. Welcoming a guest was considered welcoming God's blessing. Refusing hospitality to someone was morally serious. It brought shame on the household, whereas offering hospitality brought honour. So you can see Martha's dilemma. She's rushing around. The kettle's on. The oven's on. The bread's being made. The casserole is being stirred on the hob. I'm just making a few things up there, but you get the picture. I'm sure it was very similar. If you've ever been to the Middle East and seen the sort of food that they have, tagines and things like that, mainly vegetables. But you see Martha's dilemma, especially when you look at Mary, the contrast in Mary. What is Mary doing, the younger sister? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, the Master, and she's hanging on his every word. And so, by definition, what's she not doing? She's not helping with those domestic preparations for the hospitality. And guess what? This causes somewhat of a tension in the household. You can probably imagine why. And Martha reacts by approaching Jesus with something of reproach or accusation in her words. Just see what's going on there. There's Martha talking to Jesus, the Master, and there's a bit of a, reproach or accusation in her words. Lord, do you not care that my sister, the one sitting at your feet and listening to you, by the way, has left me to do all the work by myself? A few quick points to make here. Martha recognizes that Jesus is the one who can rectify this situation. He has the authority in the house. in their lives. He can solve the problem here for Martha, surely. And so she approaches him in her frustration, possibly a touch of anger as well, with her plea for help. "Do you not care, Lord? Tell this younger sister to help out, at least set the table, make the drinks." Jesus' response is very tender. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." I wonder how often we allow distractions to divert us from what is really important in our lives. In our house, it's a bit of a joke that if I have a sermon to prepare, the house gets very clean. Or that job, you know, fixing something in the garden maybe that's been there for 2 years or so, suddenly becomes very important at that moment. Cannot be done, has to be done before anything else. Is that a man thing? You know, ladies, when you ask a man to do something, he will do it. You don't have to keep reminding him every 6 months. Well, Jesus says to Martha, "There is need of only one thing." This account tells us that even if we approach God in frustration or anger, as Martha did, he will listen sympathetically without condemnation and give us an answer. I guess he knows we're human. But notice that it isn't always the answer that we want to hear. Martha asks Jesus to get Mary to help her, and he says, "No, listening to me teach is more important." Listening to the word, Jesus himself, teach about the kingdom of God is more important than being distracted by the everyday demands on our life. It's a matter of priority. Now, what he isn't doing is saying, stop working, do nothing, retire, and just do Bible study. But notice how he says, in this case, Mary has chosen the better part, not the right part, but the better part. Doing work isn't a wrong thing to do, but there are times when there is a better part, a more important thing to concentrate on. When the opportunity arises to receive teaching from God, then surely that has to be the priority. I wonder if it would also be fair to say that we need to put our life of being a disciple of Jesus, a learner, an apprentice of Jesus, as our top priority in life. I mean, don't take my word for that. Take the word of God's Son. Mary has chosen the better part, learning from God. Also notice, crucially, that being a disciple of Jesus first isn't wasted. Again, from Jesus, it will not be taken away from her. And so, by implication, if we put being a disciple of Jesus first in our lives, that won't be taken away from us either. The right spiritual attitude is a possession that we need never fear losing. But how can we apply this to our lives, our everyday lives, on those mundane Monday mornings when the rain's tumbling down? Let me offer this simple rule of thumb. And before I do, let me just say that this applies to everyone here, regardless of our role in the church. When we get up in the morning, let's make our first priority for the day on our to-do list the study of God's word, the Bible, and a time of prayer before we worry about anything else. You wonder, don't you, how that might transform our lives and our faith. Let's say to ourselves, how can I fit in the day's tasks, the work I may have to do, the leisure activities, whatever it is, how can I fit that around my time spent with God and not the other way round? I'm guessing it might just revolutionise our faith and probably the life of our churches too. The question is, how can we sit at the feet of the Master and make that the better part, the main thing, the first priority? Well, there is a second significant point that our reading makes today as well. You might recall last week the radical news that the kingdom was being ushered in. It wasn't just for those who would call themselves the people of God. It was for all to participate in, even for the Samaritans. You see, in this story of Martha and Mary, there's another issue between Mary and Martha bubbling under the surface. And it wasn't just about the kitchen workload. See, the real problem here was that Mary was behaving in those days as if she was a man in the Jewish culture. See, in Jewish culture, men and women generally occupied different spaces. The men in the public rooms to chat, discuss theology, politics. The women expected to stay in the kitchen and the other rooms, unseen by outsiders, getting on with domestic tasks. So you can see here, for a woman to settle down comfortably among the men was bordering on scandalous. It wasn't appropriate. It broke the division between the two halves of humanity in Judaism. To sit at the feet of a teacher was a decidedly male role. And now here's the crunch. Sitting at someone's feet didn't mean behaving like some sort of devoted dog, or if you like, idolizing a film star, a rock star, or a sporting hero. It meant that you were listening, you were learning, you were focusing with great intention on the teaching of the rabbi, putting it together in your mind, working out the consequences it had on your life. To sit at someone's feet in this way meant simply to be their student, their disciple, their apprentice. And to sit at the feet of a rabbi was what you did if you wanted to be a teacher yourself. There's no thought here in Mary's mind of learning for learning's sake. No, Mary has quietly taken a place as a would-be teacher and teller of the kingdom of God. That's why she was there learning. She wanted to be like the Master. She wanted to share the good news of the kingdom. Now remember, Jesus, of course, was Jewish. Jewish culture was in his blood, was in his mind, was in his culture. So what's his response to this break in Jewish culture? Jesus affirms her right to do so. He encourages it. Only one thing matters, said Jesus, and Mary has chosen the better part, and it's not going to be taken away from her. Mind, body, and soul, with all her strength, she's going to tell people about the kingdom of God, about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and loving your neighbour as yourself, as the summary of the law we often say in our communion services declares. As Deuteronomy, our reading from Deuteronomy said, go home when you wake up, when you sit down, write it on your doorposts, talk and share God's love, God's law with everyone. But let it sink into your own heart as well. Let it be the first priority. That's what Mary was doing. not just for the sake of it, not for her own personal study, her own personal satisfaction, but because she wanted to share that good news with everyone else. And I hope that's good news to you this morning, that the kingdom of God, the good news of the forgiveness achieved on the cross, has been entrusted to all. We each have the opportunity, the invitation, to sit at the Master's feet, to learn from him, and to take this good news to a world in need of hearing it. As men, as women, as Samaritans, as it were, those who feel outside of the kingdom for reasons of birth or background or experience or education, sitting at the feet of the Master to be able to take the word of God out to a world in need is everyone's invitation, everyone's responsibility. So what can we take from today's readings? Learning from God through his word is our first priority. Spending time in prayer and study is in fact more important than many, if not all, of the things we plan to do at the start of the day. Some notable examples of people who displayed this kind of spiritual priority include, of course, John Wesley. He was famous for rising very early, often around 4 o'clock in the morning, for extended prayer and devotional time. He believed that the early hours were especially valuable for communion with God. And he once wrote, "God does nothing but in answer to prayer." For him, sitting at the Master's feet, maintaining a disciplined routine of early rising, of prayer, of Bible study, and preaching throughout his ministry in the 18th century. And what a ministry it was. You've all heard of John Wesley. We sometimes sing his hymns of praise. Another is Martin Luther. Although not always known as a strictly 4 a.m. guy, Luther is often quoted as saying, "I have so much to do that I spend the first 3 hours in prayer." He believed the busier the day, the more necessary extended morning prayer became. He didn't treat prayer and the study of God's word as a warm-up to his work. He treated it as the work that made everything else possible. So learning from God through his word is our first priority. And that as we do it, it is our calling, each one of us, regardless of our role in church, to pass on the good news. See, we're not called to learn for learning's sake. That's not what Mary was doing. But for the mission of God in this world, through us, his church. Washing up is important. But what's the better part? Learning from God's word. Amen.